B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A report published recently in the Journal of Emergency Medicine tells of the case of a 60-year-old man who came into the emergency room after he developed a sore throat, fever, difficulty swallowing, and the feeling that something was stuck in his throat.
Oh, boy.
He told doctors that his symptoms began a week earlier after he scarfed down a cupcake on Mother's Day. The doctor ordered a CT scan. Something's wrong, sir?
Something's wrong.
Okay. Can you describe the sensation that you're having?
I can't swallow.
Oh, okay. So that sounds like an issue.
Yeah.
So they ordered a CT scan, which showed a 5-centimeter foreign body in the man's esophagus. He underwent an upper endoscopy, during which doctors removed the item in the throat and repaired a tear that it had made. They realized the foreign body was a plastic cupcake topper.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was, but sometimes they have little, you know, it might be a little man. It might be a little. No, I think it was a little novelty.
Yeah, yeah.
The man was hospitalized for 4 days. I mean, it tore his throat up. But he was okay after that. But he just didn't realize he swallowed whatever was on top of
it. I've seen times like when they'll put decorative things and people think it's made out of like spun, like sugar or they'll
fondant.
And they'll eat it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The Florida woman arrested for whipping her 26-year-old stepson with a belt after he violated curfew has been ordered to complete an anger management program as part of a deferred prosecution agreement. Valerie Branch Galloway was collared on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge after she struck the victim 30 times with a leather belt. Let me remind you, though, he's 26 years old. Okay, yeah, exactly. So Galloway whipped her stepson. He was about 30 minutes late for his midnight curfew.
Okay, hang on a second. He's 26. It's her stepson. It's not even her actual son. And the curfew was midnight?
Yeah, so I'll explain. The punishment
was... she wanted an even number.
...was meted out in the home that Galloway shares with her husband, who is the victim's father. Galloway offered the victim his choice of punishment. Either she would tell her husband about the tardiness, or he could endure some licks.
Oh, no, don't tell Dad.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to tell your father.
Then he'll tell my wife.
Upon opting for the belt, the man was struck 30 times in the buttock area. The victim told cops that he asked Galloway to stop hitting him after 11 licks, but she replied, "No, you have 19 more." When questioned by police, Galloway admitted striking her stepson in the buttock area for being late, but denied that he ever said to stop. A patrolman who interviewed the victim reported that he had bruising on his lower right back and hip area. The cop also added, it should be noted, the Vic is 26 years old.
26. Stop. Okay, keep doing it.
During a recent court hearing, Galloway entered into a domestic violence deferred persecution prosecution program agreement with prosecutors as part of the deal. Galloway acknowledged that she is in need of some counseling.
Well, when the 26-year-old and the 30-year-old get out of line, you got to whip them.
Yeah. Indian police have hailed the arrest of a notorious suspected poacher who they say killed sloth bears and ate their penises as a very important catch.
What is it? Sometimes they think this stuff is like an aphrodisiac.
But that's what they feel, yeah. So the man known as Yarlin had been on the run for years. And authorities were first alerted when they found sloth bear carcasses without genitals in a national park. The nomadic Parati Bahilia tribe, he is a part of, believe the animal's penis is an aphrodisiac.
There you go.
But Yarlin, which, by the way, is Indian for cooter.
it's a certain symmetry.
He'd be the guy,
yeah,
right?
If anyone's going to go after the sloth penis, it's cooter.
Was also a major figure in the tiger poaching trade in central India. He was a suspect in several cases involving the poaching and trading of endangered wild animals, including tigers. He is alleged to have used several different identities to evade capture.
Tigers are also castrated for the same reason.
Yarlin is yet to be charged, and neither he nor a lawyer have commented on the allegations.
I don't really get bear hunting in general.
I'm not familiar with the sloth bear. Big game hunting.
Is there an overabundance?
Sometimes I understand they'll do that, but as many times I see a picture of someone with like a giraffe, I'm like, wow.
You're talking about trophy hunting.
Yeah, like trophy hunting. Yeah.
I agree. A local CBS reporter in California, did you guys see this, was apparently fired after he, during a live news segment, climbed atop classic privately owned cars, even seemingly damaging one of them in the process. Angel Cardenas.
I didn't see this.
A correspondent for KMAX TV's Good Morning Sacramento.
Good Morning Sacramento. They hate it. Hey, the classy car show's going out at the Stuckey's. We're going to go out to our correspondent who's dancing on top of him. You're crazy.
He was on air Sunday at the Sacramento International Auto Show, and someone who caught the segment on air, Adam Copeland, posted a clip of it to Facebook as he has never seen, quote, such a disregard for someone else's vehicle. Cardenas playfully tells viewers the only person out here is a media coordinator. The event doesn't start until later in the day. No one's out here to tell me which car I can't go in because some of these are off limits, and I'm just going to live on the wild side. And then he gets on top of a yellow Ford Thunderbird laying on his side, posing on the car. He said, I feel like a kid in a candy store without the owners because you can do anything. I then moves on to another car.
I've got a baseball bat.
A pink Thunderbird.
Look at this. It's Sacramento.
Moves on to another car, a pink Thunderbird, and opens the driver's side door, which dings into another vehicle sitting next to it. I mean, people spend a lot of money.
Oh.
Restoring these vehicles.
And they baby them.
Oh, yeah.
They'll flatbed them to these shows.
So he briefly takes a look at the possible damage and then proceeds to get inside the car and quips that nobody's looking before directing the cameraman to zoom in on the spot where the door hit the neighboring vehicle. Cardenas later crosses through a barrier around a Ford Explorer and hops on top of the hood of the car. Two of the on-air hosts tell him, I would get off of that now if I were you. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm going to take a crap in the glove compartment.
The following day, the auto show's Facebook page was updated with a message about the incident. Show's producers reached out to the producer of the general manager of the CBS affiliate about the astonishingly awful incident.
Hey, listen, we want to apologize for something that happened yesterday.
And was told Cardenas was immediately fired following the segment. So
Cardenas is out at the children's hospital and started disconnecting respirators. He's a crazy guy.
So they ended up firing him.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A man was recently booked into the county jail it was about a month after he allegedly attacked a man who was on the toilet at the time. Logan Nash.
What are you doing?
Baker was booked on suspicion of second degree assault. Charges stem from when police responded to Freedom Drilling Services for a report of an assault. Once on the scene, officers spoke with Baker's employer, Carol Stiles, who said that she was leading a safety meeting that morning when she learned that Baker and another employee had gotten into a fight in the bathroom. Stiles told Baker to clean up the bathroom and then had him removed from the property. Police next responded to a medical center where the 24-year-old victim was receiving treatment for a fractured nose as well as a swollen eye and cheekbone. Now, the victim told police that he and Baker were arguing after the safety meeting. Baker followed the victim into the bathroom, telling him to come out into the parking lot and fight.
Like a man!
When the victim refused, Baker busted into the stall and punched the victim several times in the face while he was sitting on the toilet. Baker had been booked.
Honestly, that should be verboten. I don't care how much the anger is present, you got to let a guy take a dump.
Dude. I agree. Yeah, that's just bad cricket.
We're just going to have to wait here. When you're done, then the fight resumes.
So vulnerable, man.
You Took are, him. And looking pathetic with your pants down
yep.
and poo-poo coming out.
It took him to jail.
What
seemingly started as a prank by Rutgers University students has turned into a school-wide meme. Have you guys seen this?
No.
I've heard about it.
What?
The big conflagration, right? Big fight?
No. This is each September, the university's dining hall hosts a smorgasbord of seafood, lobster, crab, bisque.
Oh, I haven't heard about this.
Flounder, salmon, shrimp, and more in their annual King Neptune night for students. Well, after this year's feast, some students decided to jokingly take a lobster from the all-you-can-eat event and place it in a tree on campus.
Okay.
And although the crustacean slowly rotted away over its three-week stay in the tree, presumably removed by university officials on October 18th, students have come to memorialize its presence
oh my God.
With a new makeshift lobster made out of pine cones and tape.
It's become like a religious ritual.
Others have even joked about starting a petition to make it a historical monument on campus.
Oh, my God.
And one of the seniors said it's gotten like a cult-like and religious following.
Oh, I love that.
He said it's really cool that someone put a lobster in a very obvious and reachable spot and no one thought of taking it away for a good 3 weeks. Students have also memorialized the lobster with a Tinder account, while others have hung up photos of the crustacean in their dorm rooms. Students have also jokingly made pilgrimages to the tree as part of the viral campus trend where they pay homage to the new makeshift lobster that they've named Boris and another real lobster that was placed there and dubbed Yellow Band Bobby.
So it's there right now.
That's the word. Some students, however, pointed out that the prank was wasteful, writing on Reddit that it's really not funny to have good food go to waste like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they're just, you know, it's no big deal. Despite the criticism, the trend seems to have created a new community at the university, bringing students together for a good laugh. So I love it.
What if this becomes a religion in like 100 years?
Yeah.
You know, they meet to hold services.
All hail the lobster. A man who was shot with a police stun gun while doused in a flammable liquid is fighting for his life in a Sacramento area hospital with burns covering 70% of his body. According to family members, Paul Jason Hall, or PJ Hall, was crying out for help when he threatened to light himself on fire in his downtown home. When Hall, who has a history of mental health issues, wouldn't drop a lighter he was holding, a police officer used a stun gun on Hall and ignited the liquid and set him on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his nephew, Spencer, said as soon as the taser was deployed, the fire literally hit the ceiling. And then Spencer used his knowledge as an EMT to treat his uncle while onlookers pulled an emergency responders rushed to the scene. The officer and PJ Hall were each taken to the hospital immediately following the fire, but Hall isn't guaranteed to recover. The extent of the burns on his skin leaves him especially vulnerable to infection, complications of which are one of leading causes of death from burn victims. The police department has not yet named the officer who was involved. So,
not to make light of that, but did you see the meme that was circulating around on the internet and social media yesterday? There is a guy who's profoundly drunk with another guy who's drunk. And the one guy is attempting to, with a cigarette lighter, light the other guy's cigarette.
No.
And it goes back and forth.
Oh, no.
And he keeps, like sort of falling forward with the lighter towards the guy's face. And the other drunk guy, like, is holding him back with the cigarette in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And this goes on for, like, 6 minutes.
I got to see that.
Yeah.
All right, and then one more story. Let's go with this one. And I sent you guys the video. A tower camera shows a car accident that actually saved multiple lives in Phoenix.
Oh!
The camera shows two adults pushing a stroller when an SUV, flat out running a red light, speeds through the light, through the intersection. It was heading directly for the couple and their baby. And right before this car hits this couple and their baby, another car that was obeying, just running through, going through the light, a green light, and slams into the side of that SUV and knocked it out of the way. I mean,
did you guys see it?
Yeah.
It's a split second before it hits the pedestrian.
That car that collides with that other car that runs the red light saves the lives of the woman with the stroller.
But even the way the collision happened, had the car running the red light collided into the other car, it still would have gone into, but it was the car that was going through the light, the green light, that collided with the car going through the red light that, you know what I mean?
It almost looks like one of those, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where it just happened exactly the correct way to save their lives.
Yep, the video shows the SUV colliding with the black Chevy Cruze. Police say the woman driving the Chevrolet suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the Jeep was arrested for DUI and aggravated assault charges, so it was a drunk driver.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.